Praise the Lord. I am glad to see so many of you gathered here this evening. You certainly did not expect me to be here, but things sometimes turn out differently than we plan or anticipate. I am grateful to the Lord in many ways for this last journey. It is impossible to describe to anyone. No one can understand it. You have to experience it for yourself. It was not just a sermon. I took part in a four-day conference involving over 460 organizations and so on. It was the counterpart of the World Council of Churches, a mixture unlike anything I have ever seen or heard before. But the striking and not so beautiful thing was that I had just arrived and came into my room, and I don't know if 2 or 3 hours had passed when someone came up to me and said, "You are Ewald Frank, aren't you? And do you know what came next? And William Branham is a false prophet." And what I experienced during those 3 full days of struggle and turmoil is something no one can imagine. But I lived all the more grateful and joyful. And I gratefully acknowledge what God said through John: "He that knoweth God heareth us." The voice of God is the voice of His word. And whoever contradicts His word contradicts God, whoever he may be. And to one person I simply had to say, "Dear sir, please tell me where and when you experienced your conversion. I don't believe you have been converted at all." And the strange thing was, the topic that had attracted me, 2 catchphrases, 2 headlines, "Bible-believing Christians" was one slogan, and the other was, "For the sake of the Word of God and for the sake of the testimony of Jesus." That was the second one. I read the invitation and thought, well, you are in Florida, so why not go there, where they launch rockets to the moon, Cape Canaveral. And I would have loved to turn all those people who were there into rockets and launch them to the moon. The launch pad was nearby, only about 15 kilometers away. I saw it, by the way. But it's just unbelievable, inconceivable. And a man who approached me, Austrian by birth, reports for the German Evangelical Alliance, lives in Germany, well informed, or so he said. And I asked him very politely, "Before you formed your opinion, did you even read a single sermon by William Branham?" "No, I don't need to. What I've heard is enough for me." I just waved him away. And you can imagine that I don't always remain as calm as I'm standing here. Sometimes it really gets heated. Really heated. But it's no use. no use at all. Those who do not recognize the hour of God's visitation based on the promised word, and therefore do not accept the messengers sent by God, will miss out on what God is doing right now. God has a plan, and everything is going according to that plan. But as I said, I was very grateful, especially at the hour of departure. That was the best hour of the 4 days I had to spend there. The time there was very instructive. I heard what professors and people from all churches and denominations had to say, and two things were mainly denounced, and listen carefully: Catholicism, flawless; Ecumenism, the World Council of Churches, a flawless stance was taken against it, and what they denounced in the worst possible way was, of course, communism. And, well, you can't blame them. They don't know any better. But as for proclaiming the word, I said to the chairman on the last evening, I have heard many lectures, but God's word has not been proclaimed here. And strangely enough, I knew that learned people somehow have notes, that they have a guide, that they have a program, a style, a structure. I've known that for a long time. But that these people read sentence by sentence and don't say a single word freely for a minute, but simply turn one A4 sheet after another and then continue reading. And once he lost his place and said, "Excuse me, I have to find the right page," and then he continued reading. Then I thought to myself, thank God for Brother Rus, for Brother Schmidt, for such brothers who by the grace of God proclaim the word of the Lord here. And I tell you quite honestly, one had to nudge the other. People were falling asleep left and right because nothing was happening. But at least it was so instructive for me. I can't tell you, but no one will ever see me there again. I had one gentleman during my days in Cape Canaveral, who was also of German origin, born in the USA, a professor of theology. And when he heard what I believed, he couldn't help but ask me for a conversation. And I have never heard such a pointed formulation in my life. Suddenly, he shouted with all his might. In English, everything is informal. Tell me, yes or no, do you believe that the triune God has existed from eternity in three persons who exist independently of each other or not? Say yes or say no. Goodness gracious, I had never heard such a long litany on this subject before. There were people who were not as intelligent as this man and who did not have such sharp tongues. They wrapped the wording up a little. There are people who do that as if it were a parcel. They tie it up a little and then slowly untie a knot here and there. But that man, of course, came out like a shot from a gun. But I wanted to help this man. I wanted to help him anyway, because I knew the spirit in which he was speaking, and I loved him somehow. I couldn't be angry with him. Listen, can you scold a blind man just because he's blind? Can you say, you blind bat? You can't. You can't scold a blind man. I think it says in the Old Testament that you shouldn't make the blind to wander out of the way or scold him. And I didn't want to do that. And because he had put it so bluntly, I took some time to think about it, to consider it. And then I said, before I say yes or no, I would like to explain a few things so that you know why I'm saying yes or no. And then it started all over again, really like a thunderstorm. Well, to make a long story short, I just asked him if he believed in biblical water baptism. After all, it was a conference of Bible-believing Christians. And I asked him, do you believe in biblical water baptism? And I hadn't even mentioned the name of the Lord Jesus Christ yet. And then it started all over again. And he said, are you talking about the immersion of those who have become believers? I said, yes, of course. Oh, he didn't even believe that. He believed that 3 drops of water make a person saved. Then, of course, I knew twice and 3 times how much the clock had struck. And I just mentioned a few things, and you won't believe it. Suddenly he cried out, then you reject Luther and Calvin and what they did and taught. I said no and again no. But that was the beginning of the Reformation, not the end. That's where it started. And we have to go back to the beginning. And I said, my dear friend, if you don't mind, I would like to tell you, I'm not going back to Luther and Calvin. I'm going back to Paul and Peter, up to my Lord. And then you can imagine, you want to be a German? I said, first of all, I am a child of God. And secondly, I have a German passport. And if you don't like it, well, I do have the right words sometimes, make no mistake. In any case, you just cannot help people like that. You cannot help them. Then we actually got further into the Godhead and baptism, but we had to stop. It was absolutely pointless. Without arrogance, you just have to tell it like it is, smitten with blindness. And here the word comes to fulfillment. Let the blind lead the blind, and both will fall into the pit. It is unbelievable. I just had to keep saying and reminding them of the word from Revelation 13, verse 8, that the whole world will be deceived, except those whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain since the foundation of the world. Everything else, including the organization that rails so against the World Council of Churches. Can you cast out the devil with Beelzebub? Or Beelzebub with the devil? That is not possible. They are just different things and offshoots, like branches to the right and to the left. And everyone wants to be the Pope and have the say. And one thing was clear to all of them, that our place, our abode, is nowhere, in no organization. Just think of it, the slogan, for the sake of the Word of God and for the sake of the testimony of Jesus. I could only think of Revelation. I think it's in Revelation 1, possibly verse 9. John had been banished to the island of Patmos for the sake of the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. And there was just the headline. The Word of God wasn't there. Politics and more politics. For the first time, I really listened to how politics was conducted at a gathering of more than 1,000 delegates. It was unbelievable. There must be people who are willing and have the courage to tell the truth. And since I'm on the subject, that meant a lot to me. Reagan said, and I heard it with my own ears, when you stop telling the truth ceases to exist. Oh, I thought to myself, if that could and would be applied to preachers, when you stop preaching the truth ceases to exist. Oh, I thought, Lord, help me to preach the truth even more powerfully. You would not believe how much politics is being done today instead of preaching the gospel from all the pulpits from South Africa to the North Pole. And I'm only mentioning all this today to give you an overview of what is happening under the sun. It is truly unbelievable. And people are being led astray and think they have wisdom to spare. And in the eyes of God, pure folly and nothing else. When those two words were read, I would like to comment briefly on them. My heart began to beat again. It always beats for God's Word, with God's Word. In Psalm 78, we read, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And His Word is as true today, as alive, as fresh, as it was on the day He spoke it. If it is made alive and transfigured by the Spirit of God, incline your ears to the words of my mouth, not the interpreters, not to those who have set themselves up in the chair of Moses and perhaps in the chair of the apostles without knowing what they taught. But here the Lord says, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. I have opened the scripture in Matthew 13, where the Lord tells the seven parables one after the other. And here in verse 34 it says, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Amen. Isn't that wonderful? That is what has become so great for us in this place. The conformity between the Old and New Testament, whether our Lord or the Apostles, they returned to the Word of God. And this thought is also very important, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. Yes, one could read the whole psalm again. So powerful is its content. It is not much different with Psalm 92. Here we have a comparison. You know it. You know it well. It was the Lord. Was it Psalm 92, Brother Rus? 91. I'm just thinking, that can't be right. But which was the verse? That no evil shall befall you. Verse 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You can see here the two connecting points, the parallel scriptures to Matthew 4 and Luke 10. But let me read it to you from Matthew 4 to highlight a very special point. Matthew chapter 4. Here we have the story of our Lord's temptation. And there it says, in verse, we could read from verse 1. But you know, I prefer to read as little as possible, because you all have your Bibles with you and can read it for yourselves. Here it says, from verse 5, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and says unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Even the devil managed to put the word of God into his mouth to tempt the Lord. And he took the word out of context. And I will show you how that happened. When I walk, I have the possibility of stumbling somewhere. It happens all the time that people stumble and fall when they walk. But if I were to throw myself down from somewhere on this roof, then it would not be the case that I would dash my foot on some stone lying there somewhere, but rather that I would crack my skull when I hit the ground. And you see, the devil managed and came to our Lord and tempted him with it. Should we be surprised today when his messengers take scriptures and say, it is written, it is written. It is written is correct, but what is written must be applied correctly, never to tempt the Lord God. Is that right? The word of the Lord, our God, must never be used to question what he has said or to tempt him. The Holy Scripture says, God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt anyone. Now the Lord was in the flesh, and temptation came to him in an earthly, human way. But listen to what comes next. The answer he then gave to the devil was not given as a prophet or as the Son of Man. I will read to you what our Lord answered. Verse 7. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Who was tempted here? Who was Jesus Christ? You see, God the Lord, manifested in human form. And here, our Lord and God lets Satan know that even though he's there in the form of the Son as a human being, he is the Lord God in spirit. And he says here, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And now comes the part that I will probably also write to this world president. Here it says, in verse 8, Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. Not just one kingdom, as this president meant, which he would call the kingdom of evil. But here it is written, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, including the pious USA. And that must be told to the people so that they will refrain from pious politics. But let them go. It continues here. The kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and says unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. But that was the end of it. After that it only says, Then says Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. Thanks be to God. It was high time. But the devil thought, The Lord is now in the flesh. Let's see how close I can get to him. But he then realized that our Lord had to come into the flesh to become mortal, but not to remain in the realm of the dead as one who had died, but to descend in spirit, to open the prison doors and rise from the dead on the third day with many saints, according to Matthew 27 from verse 51. The devil does not know everything. I do not know if you understand that, but there is really only one who is all-knowing and all-powerful, and that is God and no one else. There are neither two almighty ones nor two omniscient ones. There is only one almighty God and one omniscient God. Finish. The devil knows nothing more than what he knows. He certainly does not know everything, because otherwise he would be omniscient, and that cannot be. Let us not forget that the devil is also a creature. The devil is only a creature, that he has become evil and makes things difficult. But the time and hour are coming when he and all his followers will be cast into the lake of fire, and then we will hear and see nothing more of them. The words we have read here, from whatever psalm, were wonderful and glorious. Let me read one more verse from 92. Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. That is our task. It is our privilege to sing praises to the Lord and give glory to the Most High for what He has done. I have often said, here and in other places, only those who have the revelation of Jesus Christ will know who the Antichrist is. And I do not want to go into details, because it would be a waste of time, but people are really groping in the dark, and they do not know where they are going. Only those to whom God reveals Himself, to whom the light of the Word shines, and as Psalm 119:105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Not the dead letter that people interpret as they please in all directions, but the word inspired by the Spirit and revealed through the Spirit. Just one more thought. This young man who was supposed to report on this, he gave Brother Branham every title under the sun. The words and terms cannot be repeated here. He came to speak about the fall and asked me, using a certain word, whether I also believed that. And I told the man a few things before it went on, and he could no longer answer. There are people who think themselves wise in their own eyes, and I asked him, show me a place in the Old or New Testament where Adam is listed as Cain's father in the genealogy. Show me one place where Cain is listed even once as the son of Adam. Then he would be the firstborn. Why is he not listed in any genealogy, neither in the Old nor in the New Testament? The man looked at me and said, I haven't thought about that before. I said, then it's high time you did. People really don't know. They read from books that are centuries old and have been revised over and over again, and everyone has taken from the Old and mixed it with their own and rewritten it again and again. Thank God we can go back to the old book that never needs to be supplemented, that never becomes obsolete, that is never out of date, always up to date, always relevant. Thank God. Oh yes, I'm glad for these few days. One day was for arriving, one for leaving. Oh yes, these 3 days, they helped me very much. I know the strategy now a little better, and their arguments I know a little better. And you know how it is. When you want to tackle something, you have to know your opponent's strategy. Have you heard about Brother Branham? When he was very young, he was a boxer, and he won several trophies. And when a boxer is trained, he has to be trained to fight his opponent. And his trainer has to know whether he's left-handed or right-handed, how and where he lands his blows, and so forth. And he said, so it is with a man of God who steps into the ring, who goes into battle. he must know what strategy the enemy is using in order to be able to fight him in the right way. Our God will help us in this. I have been strengthened in my belief that God owes us the manifestation of His victory power. Excuse me when I say it like this. God has promised it. In the end, He will be glorified among His people, among the faithful who have kept the covenant that He made with them and they with Him. God has a people on earth who do not bow their knees to Baal or a Baal system, but give glory to the Lord alone. In the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Let us now do this together, but please in short prayers from the bottom of your hearts. I thank you from my heart. With more gratitude than ever before for the great things you have done for us. You have revealed yourself to us. You have revealed your grace, your word, your name to us. We thank you for this, and we do not look down on others. But I ask you one thing. Look with mercy upon your people who are held captive in all these prisons. May the day come when the Spirit of the Lord God rests upon us, so that we may proclaim liberty to the captives and find favor with God and men to bring them the truth and proclaim the word of God in truth. We thank you for sending your servant and prophet, William Branham, whom we have received as Moses and Abraham, Elijah, Paul and Peter. For in one spirit they spoke and wrote, praised and glorified be thy holy name. Lift up thy countenance upon us and be gracious unto us for thy name's sake. Lord, remember also the sick. We remember Sister Vogt and also Sister Möslacher, who was suddenly admitted to hospital. All those who have recommended themselves that we pray for them. We also bring to you the unspoken prayer requests. Lord, we can no longer bear it. This must change. We must get out of the crowd of listeners and onto the platform, so that your word, may be proclaimed in thy name. It will be you alone, our God and Lord. Glory be to you. You know the time and you know the hour. Here we are at your disposal. Through your name, you have made your word glorious, and your name above your word. All is exalted, illuminated by heavenly light. Thanks be to you for this. I thank you for my beloved brothers in this place who proclaim your word in all faithfulness, O Lord, without earthly reward. Beloved Lord, may their reward be great in heaven. Bless Brother Rus, Brother Schmidt. Bless all our beloved brothers. bless us all as a congregation. Bless your people throughout Europe. Bless Russia. Bless to the ends of the earth. To you, the Almighty God, be praise and honor. Lord, we also ask you, O God, grant your grace to the conference in Nairobi, which is to take place soon, and to which more than 3,000 people are expected to attend, that you may grant grace for the proclamation of the truth. O God, we thank you for everything. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.